I've been through countless meetings where church people use words like marketing or branding. In other words, where we try to appropriate these techniques that corporations or other big non-religious organizations use to convince people to buy a product, to give to a cause, to join up with them in what they're doing. Marketing is the art of persuading people to do something they might not have otherwise done. The marketing might be designed to get a consumer to adopt a new technology, a smartphone instead of a flip phone, or it might be designed to get us to use one product instead of another. In other words, Crest instead of Colgate, Ford instead of Toyota. Branding is a particular type of marketing where the company or organization is trying to create a reputation, an impression with the consumer. And it might be our product is reliable, or it might be our organization is honest. It could be anything, really. And the branding campaign would assemble all kinds of different media to reinforce that brand, that reputation. And I guess I don't have a problem with marketing or branding in principle, but what seems to happen is that it quickly strays from fact into emotion. That is, when a product or group is marketed to consumers, the marketers talk about it as if it's better than other brands. But what's actually different is nothing significant. It's the flavor or the color. The active ingredients in most toothpaste is fluoride and a mild abrasive. I have a bottle of shampoo in my shower, dandruff shampoo. That's what Jesse buys for me, although I wasn't aware that I had dandruff. And on the back of the bottle, it says that there are 7 benefits to using this brand of shampoo. It removes flakes, it calms itching, relieves irritation, reduces redness, has a great scent, fights dryness, and leaves my hair beautiful. Now, honestly, I think 5 of those benefits are really one, it does away with dandruff, which brings us down to 3 benefits, right? So it fixes whatever is going on with the dandruff, it smells good, and it cleans hair. Now, I won't say it leaves my hair beautiful because I'm not really objective on that subject. And asking your wife how you look is sort of like asking your parents if you're as smart as the other kids. You might or might not be as smart as the other kids, but your parents aren't going to tell you that, right? One way or the other. And your wife's not going to tell you that your hair looks like somebody glued grass clippings to your scalp. The point is, toothpaste does certain things, and they all do it pretty much the same. Shampoo cleans your hair. No matter what shampoo I use, the result seems about the same. So that's just branding and marketing, right? And it has nothing to do with whether one's really all that much better than the other. And sometimes branding's negative, right? It's focused on the other guy's product instead of on your own product. So that party is un-American. That party is corrupt. People who join that church or that other religion are bad people. And again, a good bit of the time, it's not really fact. It's spin. It's manipulating emotions rather than thinking rationally. Most of us in our roles as consumers and voters are operating based upon marketing rather than principles. And it's not surprising that this is the case. We're saturated with it. To think and to act upon clearly understood beliefs and principles in a culture like ours is about as easy as getting a breath of air 100 feet underwater. Marketing or branding, or in other words, most of the time, deals with trying to get people to feel a certain way. It's not working with thoughts. It's not working with principles. It's working with your emotions. Now, I said that churches have started using this language. I've even used it myself. I've gotten caught up in the notion in the past that people are consumers and that religion is our product. And I've succumbed to the belief that you can judge a church's success by how many people are in it, just like you can judge the success of a consumer product by how many people use it. And when we get caught up in consumerism as the primary way we understand our relationship to the world around us, Christians lose something deeply important. We lose our understanding of who we are and what a church really is. There are differences between churches. There are differences between being a Christian and being a believer from another faith. And they aren't just matters of emotion. They aren't just branding or marketing. Different churches do have different emotional climates, but they also have different thought climates. They also have different systems of belief. It isn't just this one has a stained glass window in it and an organ, and this other one has video screens and a praise rock band. So there are things that we believe and do here that are different than other Christian churches. There are big differences between what we believe and what other faiths believe, too. Now, respect people of other faiths. I think that they're good people as often as we are good people. But it isn't just a matter of whether people who practice a particular faith are good people. If that were true, religion would be like toothpaste or shampoo. It's just a matter of choosing the right flavor and color, because otherwise they do the same thing. Every week we read the Nicene Creed, and we don't do that because it's exciting, because it probably isn't to most people. We don't do that, contrary to what some people believe, because we've always done it that way. We do it because we believe that it describes God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it tells us what God thinks about us, what God did and does for us, and how we are connected to God and called by God and called to serve one another. And if we say we believe these things about God, then it means logically that there are other things that other faiths say about God that we believe are false because they disagree with the creed or with Holy Scripture. It doesn't mean that the people who believe them are bad people, or that they're incapable of ever knowing God. It just means that we believe that the story that they understand to be underpinning their understanding of creation is incorrect, or that they have an incomplete understanding of it, which is just fine. The most faithful Christians on earth misunderstand our own story and don't know the whole thing. The Bible doesn't tell us the story of every person in every time or about every single thing that God has ever done. It tells us enough. It tells us the thread of our history that we need to know and to believe and in order to receive the crown of righteousness that Paul talked about. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He didn't say, "I won every battle." He didn't say, "I ran ahead of every other believer. I out-argued all the other Christians and even the pagans." Because life isn't about winning every time or getting ahead of others or proving that we're right and everyone else is wrong. That's what politics seems to be about nowadays. Now, that's what capitalism is about. For people who don't understand God, who don't know Jesus very well, it might even be what they understand their religion to be about. We live in a nation where we seem more and more committed to fighting each other over race, gender, religion, politics, human sexuality. We're at odds with other nations and even other religions. And all of this is not because of what God told us to do and to believe. It's because of what someone else told us to believe and do. Anyone who wants us to tear down someone else so that we feel better about who we are is not someone that a Christian should follow. Any religion, any party, any leader who tears down other people so that I feel better about who I am is committed to stripping away my humanity too. The fight is not with our neighbors over how wrong they are and how right we are. The fight is inside of us, this fight that Paul's talking about. It's the fight within us between non-living and abundant life. Those are kind of the categories that Paul would describe it as, deadness inside and abundant life. And the non-living part of us is fed by people in offices and boardrooms who try to convince us that it makes a real difference what car we drive, what shampoo we use, what party we belong to. If we define ourselves by such things, we are truly lost. We are, to use Paul's language, dead inside. So in faith, we struggle to preserve the fact that we are Christian, that we follow Jesus Christ and obey him, when what marketers want us to be is consumers trying to sort out all the different claims that this non-living world sets before us so that we can decide what non-choice to make with our money. Paul said, "The Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the nations might hear it." In other words, the fight of faith is fought within us with God's help so that what comes out of our mouths and what we do with our lives is a living testament to the fact that we refuse to surrender our identity. And it is that struggle that defines us. Being a Christian in a meaningful way in the lives we live and the choices we make preserves us from drowning ourselves in a culture that is dying inside because it's so far from God. Refusing to hate those we've been told by some to hate, refusing to be divided from one another by political races and ungodly ideologies, refusing to believe that it makes any real difference most of the time what tube or bottle we pull off the shelf. Does it bother you as much as it does me that most of the time those with power and influence define us by what we spend money on or how much money we make? We're called consumers. It's assumed by those who have the power and the money to drive the culture that what we identify with chiefly is stuff. We want stuff. Lots of stuff of all different kinds. We want 50 different kinds of toothpaste on the shelf. Well, that's not who I am. That's not who you are. We're the beloved children of the God who made every single atom of the entire vast universe. God knows that we swim in this sea of nonsense, and that our heads are constantly turned first one way and the other by these trivial concerns and distractions. And God also knows that because of Jesus and through Jesus, we can push aside such things. We can push aside that foolishness. Whoever wins this election, you will still be a child of God called to live and love as Jesus taught. Whatever you pull off the shelf at the store, the person pushing the cart down the aisle next to you is also God's child. It's easy to forget, isn't it, that the people that are around us are not enemies. They're not adversaries. They're other children of God. Amen.